Hey, Radio Nonsense listeners, if your grotty bleaters, sorry, grown-ups, want to help support this podcast, then they can sign you up to the Linda Edition via Apple Podcasts or Acast Plus. The Linda Edition is a version of this very show where adverts appear as often as Linda does, which is never. Yes, including this annoying advert at the beginning. You'll also get the podcast a whole day earlier than everyone else, and you never know, if enough people sign up, there might be bonus content too. Get those grotty bleaters to hit the button on Apple Podcasts or find the confusing link in the podcast blurb to do it on Acast Plus. Linda? You hear that, Linda? You have your own edition of the show, Linda! Ugh. You are listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents! Radio Nonsense! Radio Nonsense! Radio Nonsense! Radio Nonsense! Radio Nonsense! Hello and welcome to Radio Nonsense, the official Comedy Club for Kids podcast for all ages from 2 and everything in between. I'm Tiernan and I need your help this week, listeners. Check this out, right? I popped out for 5 minutes to go to the shops, and by that I mean obviously I went outside to go to the shops. I didn't pop like a balloon just to go to the shops. That wouldn't be very helpful. How would I get there if I'd popped? That'd be awful. So no, I just went outside to get the shops. And anyway, our local shops don't have any rules about balloons, so I wouldn't have to pop to go along. I think they'd allow you in if you were an inflated balloon. Do you know what? They do have a big sign saying no more than 2 school children at any time. And I think that's quite strange, as if there were only 2 school children at any time, would all children in the whole world have to take it in turns to go to school, just 2 at a time? So maybe a whole school day would just be a few minutes, and then you tag out, and then someone else gets a go. I guess you'd probably quite like that, wouldn't you? Anyway, it's a strange sign. So, I went out and I bought the groceries I needed, including 1 lemon, 1 small hat, 6 cheese graters, and a barn owl. You know, the essentials. Exactly. And then when I got back with my new barn owl, Derek, this notepad was just sitting on the desk. And I thought, brilliant. I love a new notepad for writing notes on it, like must buy a new barn owl and name him Derek. Or what's the deal with circles? Which way up do they go? Make a decision, circles. You know, things like that. But it wasn't a new notepad because there was something written on page 1. Yes, I know, right? And all it said was, whatever you do, don't. And then whenever I read it out, that music happens and I don't know where it comes from. The next page is torn out, so I don't know what it says. What is it I'm not meant to do? Linda! Linda, is this your notepad, Linda? Do you know where the music's coming from, Linda? Do you know what I'm not meant to do is, Linda? Look. Hang on, what if I'm not meant to ask Linda? Or what if I'm not meant to get a barn owl? Or dance the fandango? Okay, I'd better be careful with what I do, but I do need to check in the mailbag this week, so I'm just going to have to hope that's okay. Is it? Maybe I should test it out. There's no ominous music yet. That only happens when I read the note, whatever you do, don't. So I guess I won't do that again, and I'll just read everything in the mailbag instead. Okay, first up, Marcy sent a message on the Spotify Q&A asking, hello, I wanted to know if snakes have butts. Ah, well, Marcy, have you heard the episode with Emily Jane Clark that we did a few weeks ago? I would normally add your question to the question pile because I normally add all the questions to the question pile, but I have to say that one was actually answered just a few weeks ago. So do go and check it out. And if you have any other questions, like what it is that I shouldn't do when the notepad says, whatever you do, don't. You know, any questions like that, then I will add that to the pile instead. Marcy also put, I have a joke. Technically, it's a riddle, but here it goes. What is black and white and red all over? A newspaper. Whoa, that is a brilliant joke, Riddle Marcy. I love it. You know, if listeners, you don't really understand it, it's because newspapers are normally printed in black and white, but people read them, so they're read all over. And sometimes they're also read, like when their newspapers made out of strawberries or ketchup, or so that bulls will read them. I love it. Thank you very much, Marcy. And then I had this email from Molly, who sent me an excellent question that has been added to the pile. And also this. I have a joke. What do you call a queue of men waiting for the barbers? A barbecue. Bye. Brilliant. I love it, Molly. But also, right, I love it because it's a very funny joke. But also, queuing for the barbers would be so much more fun if there was also a barbecue there. Can you please invent the barber BQ, please? Thank you. Then over on Apple Podcasts, thank you for these excellent reviews from FCC, FGCC, for Gugususus in Australia, who says, Banana Bazooka. Oh, that sounds a bit dangerous. Hang on, does a banana bazooka fire bananas or is a banana using it? Either way, I'm worried. And then they say, Gerald eat Gerald for breakfast, lunch and dinner. Knock, knock. Who's there? Me. Me who? You don't know who you are? Uh-oh. Poops. Wow. I don't know how Gerald is eating Gerald for breakfast, lunch and dinner. Is that a different... Is Gerald eating a different Gerald? Because if Gerald's eating themselves, I don't know how they manage that for three meals a day. Maybe they're just eating their fingernails or their toenails or belly button fluff or something disgusting. Anyway, it is worrying. That knock-knock joke is worrying. I think if people knock on your door and they aren't sure who they are, maybe don't fire a banana bazooka at them just in case they are the banana bazooka police and they've forgotten about it. Or they're allergic to bananas and then they explode. And then I suppose they could pop to the shops, which would be quite useful. Thank you for Sissagafisissus. And then there's been this review from Bob Marley's cousin. Wow, really? I'm so pleased we have a celebrity cousin listener. Also, I love that your name is Bob Marley's cousin. I thought maybe your name might be Rob Marley or Todd Marley. Maybe your name is Bob Marley's cousin. Maybe you're nattering butt pumpkins. Sorry, I mean grown-ups. Have the surname Marley's cousin and then named you Bob so that your full name is Bob Marley's cousin. Anyway, whether or not you're Bob Marley's cousin or you're Bob Marley's cousin, they say, read, please. Y'all who are writing these reviews are crazy, but we all agree this show rules. Ah, thanks so much, Bob Marley's cousin. Though, I'm sorry to say this show doesn't rule. I did actually apply for it to be president of the world and rule everything, but apparently podcasts can't do that because there's no such thing as that job, and they just told me to go away and stop bothering them. But thank you. Thank you very much for the nice review. If you are a celebrity cousin or just a brilliant listener and you would like to leave this show a review, you can do that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or Amazon. You can also leave messages on each episode on the Spotify Q&A. And of course, you can email me with questions that you need answering or jokes or whatever by just asking your nattering butt pumpkins, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you write to me at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk. I wonder if your grown-ups would know what it means when it says, whatever you do, don't. And if they do, they can write in and let me know too. And of course, if they want to support this show, they can sign you up to the Linda edition, which is just like the normal podcast, but with no adverts, no Linda, and you get it a whole day early. And you can do that for a small fee at Acast Plus, the Comedy Club for Kids Patreon, or Apple Podcasts. And the only other thing that I'm going to ask this week is that if you enjoy this silly, silly podcast and it makes you laugh until your knees fall off, then please do tell your friends, family, pets, enemies, local ghosts, passing griffins and any egg wizards you know to give it a listen and subscribe to the show. That would be dandy. Thank you very much. Right, now, while I work out just whatever the I shouldn't do is, where on the note it says whatever you do, don't. You listen to this most importantest bit.
Yes, because I have a very important note for you.
Yes, I cannot believe it, but here on Radio Nonsense is Sarah Mills, a.k.a. Sarah, who's not allowed within 10 feet of a Riviera, a.k.a. Sarum Illy, pioneer of the Club of Lamppost Admirers, or as all of our scuba diver listeners know you... But of course, Sarah, you are very well known for being the world record holder of playing the most amount of instruments silently at once, for inventing make down, the opposite of makeup that people put on to look worse, and most famously for starting a highly popular dance school for worms. Sarah, it is so nice to have you here. How are you doing?
I'm great. Could you please wiggle for me? Because that's what I get the worms to do in the school.
I can. It's gonna, yeah. I want the listeners to know there is a lot. There is wiggling happening.
Yeah,
I definitely. Is that the main dance move? That's the first, how you start them dancing.
Yeah, you would think that worms wouldn't need a human to explain to them how to wiggle, but they've all said to me, the feedback has been that my background in wiggle dance has really helped them, you know, helped with their joints, helped with their mental health, and just helped with their general worm coordination.
That's amazing. I mean, you know, I'm going to be very careful here not to stereotype worms in any way, but I had assumed that most worms would know how to do the dance move, the worm.
They can do the worm, but the wiggle is different.
Right, right.
The wiggle, right. I mean, there's probably a maths behind it, you know, an equation. But the worm is, you know, undulating, whereas the wiggle is more spiralizing.
Right, right. So it's more spiralizing like people do with vegetables when they want disgusting spaghetti.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, disappointing the best, spaghetti, yeah.
The best way for your listeners to think about it is that the worm takes place on a vertical sphere, where wiggle takes place on a horizontal sphere.
Wow, this is lots of, because I get, again, I sort of see a worm. I think there it is. It's all sort of just there on the floor, squirming about. I didn't realise there's different planes of existence where worms take place, and
only once they attend place. Their school. Only once they
right, sure, sure. This is like next level serious worm dancing technique.
That's the wiggle.
Can I ask, is there, because you know, you're talking about the wiggle, which is the very important dance move you teach them, is the wriggle something different? Is that something, because sometimes people say worms are wriggly, not wiggly. Is that, am I being offensive by...
Yeah, in worm dance circles, wriggling is actually considered quite offensive.
Wow.
And a little bit of an old-fashioned, you know, there's a number of worm communities that have spoken up about the wriggle, and it's got sort of a very difficult, dark history. So we just stick with the wiggle and the worm.
Wow. And look, I'm going to get in trouble with a lot of worms here, and I'm probably going to get in trouble with you, and I'm very sorry. I'm going to apologise in advance, but how do you know which end is which when you're teaching the worm to wiggle? How do you know they're wiggling at you with their head and not their bum?
Basically, as they come into my dance studio, I just say to them, could you do me a little poo? And that's how I know.
Wow.
But the end the poo comes out of is the bottom, and I'm like, fab. And so that's why there are always buckets by the door of my studio. Tiny bucket for tiny one, too. But I do still like cleanliness. Cleanliness.
Wow.
Key.
That's, I mean, you've thought it through. You know, I shouldn't, you know, even question your professionalism. Yeah. That
absolutely
is amazing.
You should not.
I will not. I love that you have... You know, I don't think there are many other dance classes in the world, in the universe, in the bit beyond the universe where things are all strange. Like, I don't think any of those have buckets of worm poo apart from yours.
Yeah, that's what we say on our posters.
Yeah, the right.
Dance class with buckets of worm poo on entrance.
Yes. Yeah.
And you've been really careful not to mix it up with the buckets of muffins we have as a reward as people exit. And it is through the same door. So.
Wow. And then, of course, do you watch to make sure the worms eat those with their heads and not their bums?
At that point, they're on their own.
Sure.
I can. And I'm often quite exhausted after all the worming and the wiggling.
Yeah, I bet you are. I mean, I was sort of, I read about worms recently because why wouldn't you read about worms, you know, all the time? And when they burrow through soil, they sort of eat it and then they poo it out and then that makes compost.
Yeah.
So when they're eating the muffins, are they leaving compost in your dance studio? Have you got like a little gardening business on the side? Is what I wanted to ask.
Once, like I say, the muffins are really to go. And you know, I feel like at the end of the dance lessons, I am kind of spent, and what happens to the worms thereafter just isn't my business.
Sure,
they are leaving little trails of muffin poo as they go. But so, you know, really the only thing I would just really be paying attention to are the traces of the muffin poo in a wiggly line, because that shows that they're still practicing their moves even after the lesson is finished.
I just like to believe in maybe, I don't know how long plants take to do things. Sometimes they're quick, aren't they? Sometimes they take ages. Depends on the plant. I like to think in maybe next spring, people will be walking near your class, maybe on the routes worms go home, and they'll just see a whole load of little muffin plants that have sprung up.
Ah, how lovely would that be? Muffin plants infused with the joy that only a dance class can bring.
Yeah, there you go. That's now. Can I ask? So some of our listeners, I don't know if you know this, Sarah, but some of our listeners are in the UK, some of our listeners are in the US, some of our listeners, I think, are jellyfish according to their messages, and some are ghosts, some are crazy ghost girls, some are bananas. We've got quite a variety of listeners, which I'm very proud of. But there's some, you know, people around the world have arguments about what types of muffin are what. So which ones do you give? Do you give breakfast muffins? Do you give sweet muffins? Like, what's your...
No. We do roast Sunday dinner muffins.
Right, sure. Yes.
Obviously.
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. And the best for post-dance workout.
It's the muffin of choice for the worm community.
Well, am I right? I'm pretty sure that ballet dancers, like big famous ones who do the ballet, I don't know the names of any big famous ballets.
Right. That's
big,
clear.
You know, the big famous ballets, yeah. The ones where they do all the twirling and the prancing.
There's a ballet, isn't there?
That's the one. The one that has, like, the king and stuff dancing in it. Yeah, those ones.
Exactly.
Yeah, the royal ones where all the king and the corgis and the swans, they all dance. When they finish a big dance, they always eat a roast dinner, because that's, like, the thing, isn't it?
Is that true?
No, I don't know. That's what I thought. I thought that's why, I don't know anything about ballet, but I assume that's why you do the roast dinner muffins.
Yeah, I'd read about the Royal National Ballet.
Yes, right. Yeah. So it must be the same. In that dancers eat a roast dinner after every dance.
Yeah.
But not before every dance, because that would be awful.
No. Yeah. And what I found is that if they do eat too much before the classes, then they do start pooing in the middle of a dance. And when they're wiggling, it goes everywhere.
Yes, of course, yes. Like, you've thought it all through. So, you know,
water feature.
Yes, yeah, which is, that's, yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't want that at all.
I absolutely do not want that. In fact, I've got signage up everywhere that says, do not eat a roast dinner before this class.
Wow. Mm. You've thought it through. I mean, you know, it's amazing having a professional like yourself on the show. So is that what you've mainly been busy with the dance classes?
Dance classes, a little bit of amateur astrology. And the other day I just sort of decided to paint my house pink.
Oh, that sounds nice. Yeah. Any particular shade?
Fuchsia moon.
Fuchsia moon. Wow. So hang on. So is that like the fuchsias that grow on the moon, or is that like
how fuchsias
look in the moonlight? Oh, that'd be moon fuchsias.
Being a proper silly now, like a fuchsia that grows on the moon would be a moon fuchsia, but fuchsia moon is just fuchsia with like a sort of shimmery glaze.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's nice. Like a donut. Yes, that makes sense. Yes,
exactly like a donut.
Yes, right. Well, you see, because you mentioned amateur, is it amateur astronomy or amateur astrology? Which one is it?
Amateur astrology.
Astrology?
It's a mix of astronomy and astrology. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's basically where I fly to another planet, then read people their horoscopes.
Right. That makes sense. And that's going to be quite fun, because from other planets, you get different, like, constellations and... So you get much more interesting, like star signs, right?
You haven't lived till you've viewed Orion from the feet upwards.
Right, right. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And is he still known as Orion, or is he known as like Bigfoot Jeff or something?
No, he's still known as Orion, but he doesn't. He no longer has a belt. It's more of a sash these days because he's sort of experimenting with different sort of gender expressions.
Wow, wow, that's amazing! But do you get all the sort of Aries and the Pisces and all that when you're on another planet, or do they have different? Do they have like the dishwasher and the kind of takeaway chip packet and things?
It's actually funny. I love that you've asked me that, and thank you, because if you actually go to Jupiter, there's a bunch of other constellations that we can't see, just hidden right behind Jupiter. And one is the ironing board.
Wow.
One is the Vladimir Putin. One is the bent twig.
Wow.
It opens up a whole, and we can't see because Jupiter's big ass is in the way and we just can't see the other side.
It is very big, Jupiter, isn't it? And it's
so big. It hasn't quite being that big.
No, it's not. And I always think, I don't know how Jupiter feels on a day-to-day basis, but it's got that storm that seems to have been there for a very long time.
Yeah.
And it never gets it treated. I would have thought it'd gone to a doctor by now and said, look, this storm is constantly on my bum. It's been there for millions of years. What can I take for it? But it just doesn't deal with it, you know?
Get some interplanetary hemorrhoid cream.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
I agree with you.
Wow. Well, thank you. It's so exciting to have a professional like yourself agreeing with me when I'm very rarely certain where I am most days, let alone anything about amateur astronomy.
Astrology.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, listen, Sarah, I'm so glad that you've had time in between all your dance classes and all your amateur astrology to come on the show. And I've got a question that I know you are the expert that can answer this. I know that you are the person who can handle this. Before I ask it to you, how do you feel about admin questions?
I love admin.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Okay. Well, I hope you'll love this. I've got two admin questions. I hope you're going to love them. Mm-hmm. I would say that they're quite, I apologize, they're quite complicated, but I have to ask them. It's just sort of the rules. The first one probably easier than the second one, but we'll see how we go. The first one is quite simply, what is this?
Oh, well, it's a piece of folded up banana. And it's been folded into the shape of a swan. But the swan is in a state of denial about the fact that it is ultimately just constructed of banana.
That's amazing. Because I've been looking at it for ages thinking, is it origami? It can't be. It's too slippy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you ate a bit of it and then you're like, well, I hope it's edible. And you, thankfully, you were right.
Yes. Yes. I have eaten paper before and it wasn't edible. So you're correct.
I mean, anything is edible with the right sort of mindset.
that is true, isn't it? If you really try hard,
yeah,
you could probably eat anything. It will be sometimes you got to worry about your teeth. I think, like, if you say, "Well, I could eat that bicycle," but then you probably got to think, even if I try really hard, it's not going to be very fun.
Yeah, but sometimes the things you want to achieve in life aren't fun.
Yes, that's true. That's true. What would you suggest? Like, what's a good place to start if I'm like, right, I'm just going to eat anything if I put my mind to it? Where's a good starting point then? Is paper good?
What I advise the worms, because they also come to me for dietary advice, is start with a fence.
Right, right. That's good. That's good. Any type? And it's like wooden fence is probably
wood
the best.
Wood fence, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And go from there, really. Just upwards. Because once you've mastered wood, then you move on to something slightly more slightly less porous and slightly more crunchy, like granite or brick. Ultimately, you want to be working up to lumps of steel.
Wow. Do you know what? I didn't have this as a goal before. I'm going to add it. And because I like the idea with a fence as well, that you can start with just one. What do you call them in a fence? Is it a stake? No, are they wooden stakes in a fence? Is that what you'd have? Like, I'm thinking of like a picket fence. You could just have one bit of wood at a time. It's almost like a snack.
No, you've got to take bites out of it. You've got to train your teeth. You can't, you know. What you've really described there is a sort of an amateur's approach.
Right. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I think I am an amateur.
Well, I'm sorry, but you know, I've got this. What would we call this? An origa banani.
Well, don't forget, it's also a swan.
A swarigana. That's beautiful. A swarigana. I mean, it's beautifully constructed. I have to, even though I've obviously eaten some of it, and I understand this one looks quite disappointed about it, but it's really a work of art.
Yeah, I'm glad it is. You're right.
Yeah, it's an ancient art, and I hope more people take it up, and I would like to see that in grocery stores and supermarkets across the country.
I have to say, I feel like we're putting a lot of pressure on our listeners. We've given them a massive list of activities they could potentially take up since the beginning of this record. Wiggling, fence eating, astronomy, and now banana origami, swarigami.
Swarigana.
I just want to make an impassioned plea to the listeners that you don't feel obliged to take any of these things up. Remember that doing nothing is always also an option.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, these are just suggestions. You know, they're just sort of, just if like, you know, they're listening to this on a rainy weeknight thinking, I've got a lot of bananas lying around and I'm very bored. Maybe I could make one into a swan. You know, it's that kind of...
We've all been there.
Absolutely. And we absolutely have.
Yeah.
And someone clearly has where I am and has made one into a swan regana. So, you know, we like to give the listeners suggestions. I mean, chances are none of them are going to do anything, probably ever. They're busy listening to this. So, you know, you can't go around.
If all you've done today is listen to this podcast, this was the most important 20 minutes of your day.
Well, exactly.
Thank you. Namaste.
Wow. That was amazing. Wow, I feel quite moved by that. Thank you. That was beautiful. And I should also suggest to listeners that maybe, you know, listen to it on repeat and then you don't have to do anything for like days on end if you're still listening to the podcast. If all you've got is this podcast on again and again and again and again, you don't actually have to do anything else because you're busy.
Yeah.
You're busy. You know, that's what you can say.
Yeah,
you have to say it like that. That's the way that shows you're so busy you're annoyed that someone's bothering. I'm busy.
Yeah.
If you say it in any other way, people think you're not actually busy.
It's true. That's the only way. With that slight harsh guttural, yes. Yeah, acute accent on the is.
That's exactly it. Well, listen. Thank you, sir. You answer that question very quickly, and I mean it's very helpful as well. As I can now either eat the rest of this or display it in an art museum, and that's very, very handy for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
The second admin question, I think this is the harder one. So, you know, if you need to take your time thinking about it, that is okay. We've got time. Sarah, so would you rather only be able to travel anywhere if you're doing the conga or you're severely allergic to stairs?
Obviously, I want to go everywhere doing the conga. I'm not even going to do that as like through being forced. Like, why are we not already doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably the slight issue, and I suppose you probably need other people to do a conga with. Like, can you do a one person conga?
Yeah, you get a teddy bear and you glue it to your behind, and another teddy bear and you glue it to your front. And then you're already in a three-person conga with two teddy bears. And you are still in charge. That's you know, really, in a conga line, you want to be the one that's in charge.
Yes. Yeah, of course. Of course.
Like, that's something we all know. Fundamentally, part of our human... We're born knowing that fact in our core. And so, yeah. But, I mean, you know, if you can find other humans to conga with you, that is ideal, of course. But there is no shame in doing a one-person conga or a one-person two-teddy conga. And obviously, no upper limit to the number of teddies you can employ. But I'm a lazy girl. I'm a lazy congerer. And I just get the two teddies.
That's impressive. I didn't know that was an option. How would you feel about, because also the thing with the conga is you've always got to go da 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 da, and it's always got to stick one leg out. If you were in a rush to get somewhere, that would be quite enough. If you're trying to catch the bus, you're trying to catch a train, but you've got to get there slowly with da 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 da, like you'll miss it. That's got to be annoying.
You have to factor time into your day to conga.
Sure.
You know, otherwise you're not taking it seriously enough.
Yeah, that's true. So you'd just make sure you had time.
I think, or you could do turbo conga.
Right.
After a while, it does look like you're slightly sort of cartwheeling down the street in a mad squiggle, but. Like you say, you know, sometimes you cannot just leave early enough to conga places. So, yeah, you have to just do the turbo conga.
Wow. I didn't realize there were different speeds of conga. Can you also do a mega slow conga if you wanted to?
Absolutely, you can. Absolutely, you can. That's what the snails all do.
Right. Is that what happens sometimes when you see more than one snail in a line?
Yeah.
They're all congering. Wow.
They're a little bit annoyed because they don't have legs. They've just got the one leg underneath. And that, you know, that's why it takes them a bit more time as well, because they have to get that one leg out one side and then out the other side. So, you know, that feeds into why it's such a slope.
Yes, of course.
So sedentary.
Yeah, that's true. That can be quite tricky. I was going to ask as well how you would feel, because obviously you've got your own conga set up with the teddy bears.
Mm-hmm.
My concern about only being able to conga everywhere is that people would just join my conga, and then you'd end up with this incredibly long line, and then a bit like, have you ever played the game Snake? There's an old game Snake, and some of the listeners may have it on there. It's still on kids' phones and things like this now. But
yeah,
a Snake, where when you eat an apple, you grow longer. And my worry is you'd have a conga line that's so long that eventually you'd just crash into yourself, and you'd not be able to escape.
The thing is, there's a secret that I haven't felt brave enough to bring to public knowledge yet. But yeah, if that does happen, then we all reach a higher level of being.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know if we're ready for that as a species. So that's why you've never seen a circular conga line, because once that happens, the world as we know it doesn't disappear. It just levels up, and maybe some things become gold. Maybe some bits of the ground that we walk on becomes bouncy. So it you know, it will happen. Maybe not in our lifetimes.
Wow. But you'd prefer to take the risk that might happen than, say, sneeze when you walk up some stairs.
Absolutely. Because, you know, loads of my favourite places are upstairs.
Yeah.
And I don't like being allergic.
Yeah, you know, and it's also, you know, I should say, if there are people that have difficulty with stairs, it's not just going up them, it's just being near them. It's just being allergic to all stairs. And I think that would be a really tricky place to be in life, just because stairs are everywhere. Even when you don't want them to be, they're there. Very annoying, actually. Yeah,
exactly.
Very annoying.
I'm sticking with my choice. I'm happy with it, and I thank you for letting me speak my truth.
Well, listen, again, thank you. You looked at all the evidence, and I think you've chosen very wisely. I appreciate you taking the question as serious as it needed to be. Listen, Sarah, that's the admin out of the way. Now, here's the big question. This has been sent in by Una, who is from the US, she says she is 11, and then she's put, like, sort of three or four underscores in a row, so it's just like a blank. So it's 11 somethings old, and I don't know what those things are.
Apples.
Is that how you put it in sort of?
Yeah, the numeric representation of pineapples is those lines.
Right. So she's 11 pineapples old, which I, let me try and think of my age chart. I think she is about 62.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, she's a 62 year old child.
Yes, that's right. I thought that sounded about right. So Una from the US, 62 years old, 11 pineapples. She says, I love this podcast. Thank you, Una. That's very nice of you. And she says, my question is, I'm going to read this how it's written. There's four question marks at the end, so I'll try and do the emphasis how it's written. My question is, why do stink bugs stink? I think that's the level of, if I've got that right, I think that's the level of question that she's put in there.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And interestingly, quite American.
That's true. I should have got, my question is, why do stink bugs stink? That's how a 62-year-old child.
That feels like that's what should be coming up next.
Yeah, that's right.
I think stink bugs stink because they are very antisocial. I actually think they have the whole gamut of smells to extol into the world at their tiny bug fingertips. But they choose to stink, to make themselves smell like the worst poo, like a poo that has chili and green peppers and blue cheese in it. I think they opt for that poo smell because they want to be antisocial. They are fed up of humans and other animals trying to be their friend, coming along. You know, sometimes you might walk up to a stink bug and be like, hey, could you give me the directions to the library? And they are fed up. They're fed up. They're not here to guide us to the library. They don't really, stink bugs famously don't enjoy small talk.
Is that right? Is that really particular? Do they not? They don't do small talk amongst themselves, or
no. They love big ideas.
Right. Sure.
And that's their reason for being. So they cannot deal with being caught up in conversations about the weather. Mm-hmm. Conversations about how are you? Good. How are you? Good. I mean, that just, you know, these conversations are meaningless. You know, conversations about, oh, is it only Wednesday? Roll on the weekend. # living for the weekend. They, you know what? Like, you know, you would never catch a stink bug at a brunch. Because they're very serious creatures. I mean,
right. Yeah,
it's correct to be asking them the way to the library because that is where they spend their most time. But yeah, in answer to your question, Una, they stink because they actively want us to steer clear of them. And if they wanted to, they could switch the stink off.
Wow. Mm. What do they smell of amongst each other? Say if there's stink bugs, probably having a very important discussion about some big ideas. I don't know what they do if they have those big sort of conferences like Apple do or something. I'm guessing they do things like that. What do they smell of when they're amongst each other?
Chicken.
Wow.
That's The last time I hung out with my stink bug friend, which was honestly about 12 years ago, because that's as often as they're prepared to speak
Right.
to me.
Sure.
I was like, what, what do you guys, you smell gross right now, but is this like how it is between yourselves? And they were like, no. We smell like chicken. Specifically Nando's chicken.
Wow.
They probably don't have chicken. They probably don't have Nando's in the States, do they?
I don't know. Probably, I'd assume Nando's is, I don't know. Una, if you haven't been to Nando, how would you describe Nando's? It's like,
McDonald's chicken.
Like McDonald's chicken. Right. So
McDonald's
it's not
for chicken.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Because it's not quite, it's different to KFC chicken. It's a different chicken.
Oh yeah, McDonald's for chicken is KFC.
So Nando, but Nando's is a fancy gym, because what you have to do with Nando's is a very clever thing, where you have to go and order at the till, and but there is a waiter or waitress, but then they bring you the food, but they don't do the whole job. They sort of have a really easy job, because in some restaurants the waiter or waitress have to come over and say, "What would you like?" And then you tell them. Then they have to go away and get it. Then they have to go and bring it all the way back. But in Nando's, they just bring it to you. And they only have to do half the job.
Yeah,
and that's pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, it has been said that Nando's staff are quite close to stink bugs in their outlook on how much contact they will have with people.
Yes, I don't blame them at all, because also they're serving all the people sort of peri peri sauce, and when people eat a lot of peri peri sauce, they'll probably fart quite a lot, and then you probably don't want to be that near them. In the midst of their fire, then you'd become a stink bug just by being too near all the people that have eaten that much peri peri sauce.
Yes, but you would never smell as bad as a stink bug smells. They do pride themselves on this. They pride themselves on being the stinkiest animals on planet Earth, and I think they achieved that. Stinkier than
they have, yeah. Really,
yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Because I've only been near, I've had a stink bug near me once. Obviously not that, it didn't want to be, because it's antisocial. And I remember catching a smell, and maybe it was slightly trying something out. I remember catching a smell that was almost like oily, it almost smelled like petrol. And I wondered if it had just been like doing some works on a car, or, be working in a garage, doing something that meant it smelled of oil.
They do love an open road.
Right, right.
But I think they would smell like that anyway.
Yeah, because they're stink bugs.
Because they're stink bugs.
Yeah. It's in the name, isn't it? You sort of think, it would be a shame if you were called stink bug and you didn't stink, because people would all, they shouldn't have to live up to how other people see them, but if you're called stink bug and then you don't stink, everyone would be a little disappointed.
Well, I mean, surely you've heard the story of the stink bug that didn't stink.
No, I have not.
He was ostracized for many years, and but during his exile, he just developed some really great circus skills.
Wow.
And, he traveled the world. And he became just one of the finest insect performers. And when he returned to the stink bug people, they welcomed him with open arms. And there is a statue to this particular stink bug, because he, his story is one of the few stories we hear of stink bugs, being positive, being inclusionary, sort of feeling like they'd learned a lesson. So it was quite a big deal in the history of stink bug culture.
Wow. And the other stink bugs like that, even though they're antisocial, but they still look up to this stink bug.
The thing was, right, as he returned to the colony, he was like stopping to do a different circus trick as he approached.
Right.
He was like 10 miles away and he was juggling fire, and they were like, wow, look at that fire in the sky. Then he got a bit closer, he was on an elephant. They were like, oh my god, there's someone over there on an elephant. Got a bit closer, he was doing trapeze work. Got a bit closer still, hula hoop. And that was how he ingratiated himself back in. And they learned a lesson, because if he'd just come straight up to them, they would have been like, go away, you're the stink bug that doesn't stink. But by the time he'd approached the stink bug colony, you know, he'd performed these 12 epic feats. Wow. You know, we talk about Hercules, but this is really the Hercules of stink bug life. Did Hercules, Stinkules, yes. Stinkules. Was Hercules was there the seven?
12 tasks of Hercules. Hercules had 12.
Yeah, exactly. 12 there tasks. You go. So it was the equivalent of that for stink bugs, Stinkules. And yeah, so by the time he was sort of at the colony outskirts, they were already ready to welcome him back.
That's amazing.
I mean, I think it tells you everything you need to know about the stink bug sort of species personality, that you really have to work hard to be welcomed by them.
It sounds impressive. And, you know, I know you said that we tell the listeners on this show to do too many things, but I have to say, if anyone listening, you're thinking, I really wish I could hang out with that group or hang out with that group. You know, maybe have you tried approaching them on an elephant, juggling fire, then doing trapeze? Because I think by the time you got to them, they'd be like, wow, you know, let's be friends.
No, the thing is, it's been done once already.
Oh, so now it's not cool anymore.
Not to them, no.
No, wow.
You have to think of something else. So that's really the task for your listeners, is how would they ingratiate themselves into the stink bug community should they need to?
Yeah, they might need to. You know, I don't know, especially Una. Una's asking this. Maybe, you know, there's every chance there's a bunch of stink bugs that she really wants to hang out with, and she just hasn't figured it out yet. Hopefully this and your expertise will help her.
Well, you say one right thing there, and that is that I do have expertise.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, and everything else I said was wrong.
I just heard expertise and I got attached to that.
Sure. Word I like. Sure. That's good. I'm very pleased to get one thing right on this show. It very rarely happens, so it feels like a very successful episode of the podcast to me, if one thing is correct.
Yes, I think this has been successful.
Great. Good. Well, much like everything you do. So, you know, thank you so much for having the time to answer Una's very important question. You know, I do hope that you are happy with that answer. And Sarah, what have you got, you know, ahead of you in the next 30, 40, 50,000 years? Have you got much going on?
No.
Wow, that sounds nice.
No, what I would love, I always just say, I love it if people follow me. I am at Sazzy Mills, SazzyMills, on all your socials. In particular, I'm a big fan of Instagram, so follow me there. And I make lots of content about...
I'm going to stop you. Is it kid-friendly content before you plug your social media?
Probably not.
In which case, maybe we don't plug it.
Okay, what shall I plug?
You don't have to plug anything. You can just say, you can say something else you're doing, or you can make it up.
My social media isn't that bad.
If it's safe for kids, then plug it. And if it isn't safe for kids, then
bowel cancer, so maybe that's not really. Maybe it's a bit too grown up apart from anything else.
It's more if you've got any swears in it at all or anything like that, then probably.
No, I don't put swears on because the algorithm doesn't like it. Actually, a lot of my content has been wholesome. Yeah, so follow me at Sazzy Mills.
Cool.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's right. You're totally fine to do it. I just had to stop just in case any of it wasn't safe, and then I've got to cut it. That's all.
No, I don't do anything rude.
Cool. No, that's all right. Wait, which case, do you want me? Should I ask you again, and then we'll do it without me ruining it. What have you got coming up in the next 40,000 years? Lots of stuff going on.
I thought I would continue being a human.
That's a very good idea.
It's worked well for me so far for a few decades. And I don't have anything to promote necessarily. I do often take my comedy on the road, and the place to hear about that is most likely on my Instagram. So my handle there is at Sazzy Mills, SazzyMills, or you can keep posted on my website, which is sarahmillscomedy.co.uk, where I do have a mailing list.
And I should say, if you're taking your comedy on the road, if listeners are on the road in whatever vehicle they're driving, they could probably look for you there as well.
Yes. I like the stink bugs. I enjoy an open road. And I have been known to tell jokes there.
Wow. Wow. That's good. Just, it's very noisy. It's a difficult place to hear you, but it's probably...
I'm loud.
See you there, they should. That's good. That's very good. And of course, any Worm listeners, do check out Sarah's class as well.
Yeah, please.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Sarah. And hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Thank you for having me.
I am extremely disappointed with the note that was left.
Big thank yous to Sarah Mills for taking time away from her Worm dance training to answer Una's question about stink bugs. Una, I do hope you liked your answer. And if not, why not give any complaints you have to a stink bug? As you've heard, they won't really want me to go anywhere near them. And so I won't have to read it. If you have a question that needs answering, or you just want to send in a message or a joke or anything really, then please get your nattering butt pumpkins, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you email me at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk. Or you can message on the Spotify Q&A or leave a review, and those same grown-ups can help support this show by signing up to the advert-free Linda edition on Apple Podcasts, Acast Plus or Patreon. And please, please, please do tell everyone you know and beam messages into space to tell other people or species even to listen to this show. That would be excellent times. Especially as I still don't know what the whatever is in the note that says, whatever you do, don't. I mean, what do you think it should be? I mean, let me just read that again. It very clearly says, whatever you do, don't. So whatever it means when it says, whatever you do, don't. It must be serious about it. Otherwise, it would say, whatever you do, do, rather than whatever you do, don't. Oh, what's this? The next page of the notepad? Amazing! I can finally find out what it means when it says, whatever you do, don't. And page 2 says, keep reading out this note, as it will mean the ominous music plays, and that will call Constance the shoe-eating gnome who will turn up and eat all of your shoes. Ha, is that it? So I just wasn't meant to read, whatever you do, don't. Much. How silly.
Yummy! Shoes!
Oh no, go away, Constance! Shoo, shoo!
Yes, that's my favourite! How did you know?
Oh no! Bye!
You have been listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents. Radio nonsense, radio nonsense, radio nonsense, radio nonsense, it's the end.